Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Excuse me there. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. 20 years ago today, I married my soulmate and my best friend. Her name is Becky Fain, which became Becky Noble on that day. So it's a very special day for me today. Happy anniversary, Becky. I love you. It's been 20 incredible years. And here is to 20, 40, and 60 more. Today on my program, I want to dedicate this program and the next four successive programs in the month of October to Rahane Jabari. It was 5 years ago that I wrote a groundbreaking book about her life, about her tragic execution, her suffering in prison for simply defending herself against a government rapist. Her story was well known in 2014. It was heard all over the world, and many human rights activists, yours and truly included, spoke up for her. We challenged the system. We put pressure on the Iranian government. We demanded her release. She had been given a sham trial. In a culture that favors men over women, she was never given the opportunity for a story to be believed. Because she lived in Tehran, Iran, which is a culture shaped and dominated by men and Sharia law, Rahane Jabari never had an opportunity to really stand up and say, this is what happened to me. She wasn't believed by the majority of the men, of course, in Iran, the judges that sentenced her. There was a panel of judges that listened to her story. The authorities, the prison officials, the police simply decided that a rape victim needs to be executed. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me tell you her story in just a few minutes. Rahane was 19 years old in 2007. She was a very busy young girl. And in Iran, she was working very hard every day to establish herself in the advertising business and computer science business. She was going to school every day, almost every day of the week, that is, and then part-time, whenever she had any leftover time, she was working at an advertising agency. So it's a nice spring day just before Nowruz in Iran. The month of March is upon them. Spring is in the air. Rahane is sitting at an ice cream parlor on the phone talking to someone, and she's discussing another one of her jobs. This is such a busy girl. She did interior decorating. And as she's describing her job and talking about what she does, a man approaches her, and he basically interrupts her conversation and said, "I couldn't help but overhear that you're an interior decorator. I need an interior decorator. Can you help me?" Well, Rahane looks at this tall, bald-headed man standing over her. She's a little, I wouldn't say frightened, just a little apprehensive. What's a man talking to me as a woman here? You know, the sexes are segregated in Iran unless you're married, and they're very strict on that. And so she looks up at him. She says, "Yes, I am an interior decorator. I need you, Rahane, to come to my office and redecorate my surgery suite. I'm a plastic surgeon. I'm starting a new business from this location, but I really need your touch and your expertise." Well, Rahane is delighted. This is an opportunity for her to make some money, and she even talks about using her advertising agency to help him promote his surgery business. And right away, Rahane is thinking, this is an opportunity for me as a young Iranian girl to really establish myself and make some money. So she's very anxious. Her mother, Shole, is not very happy. She doesn't want him meeting her. She doesn't want her having anything to do with this man that she really doesn't know. And you, of course, you know a mother knows best, and you'll know what I mean. But Rahane, of course, is very determined, and she finally one day, after he's canceled two or three times and not shown up, one day he shows up and takes her in his car and says, "I'm going to take you to show you the surgery suite so you can lay down some plans of what we're going to do." So Rahane drives with this man, not knowing much more about him than what he said, and they arrive at this building. And the guard welcomes him and thanks him, and Rahane goes, "This security guard knows him like he's some famous person. Who is this man, you know? Well, he's a famous surgeon. Maybe that's it." They get in the elevator, and they're riding up to the fifth floor. And it was at that time, according to prison letter number one that Rahane wrote while she was in prison, she began to feel a little squeamish. And when he opened up the door to his apartment, it was vacant. It was dirty. Nothing at all like she expected. And now she's feeling really apprehensive. There's a couch. There's a table. A couple of chairs, but nothing other than that. Oh, she does see a prayer rug over there in the corner, but it's a dirty, mostly vacant, old apartment building. Wow, what kind of a job does he expect me to do, Rahane is thinking. "Sit down, Rahane. Relax. You can take off your hijab." Now, that startled Rahane. He wants me to remove my hijab? What in the world is going on here? And in just a few minutes, Rahane is about to find out. Morteza locks the front door and approaches her. And basically, he begins to sexually assault her. Rahane is in a panic. She now understands what her mother meant about not associating with a strange man. And now she's afraid. What is she going to do? Well, she sees a little knife laying on the table. Morteza Sorbande sees her look at it. He laughs. He taunts her, according to prison letter number one. "What, are you going to stab me with that little penny knife? You kidding me?" Rahane is sweating. She is panicked inside. And so he turns his back for just an instant, and Rahane quickly picks up the knife and stabs him in the shoulder. Really believed it was such a superficial wound that she could somehow manage to get out the front door. Instead, blood begins gushing out of this wound. Apparently, she stabbed an artery or something. And he falls to his knees. He's very upset and angry. He's struggling to keep his balance. He picks up a chair and throws it at her. It was at that time that there was a banging on the door, and it burst open. His best friend, a Mr. Shaky, has come in, and Rahane darts out the door, leaving Sarbandi and his friend. She runs down the stairs instead of taking the elevator, bolts out of the front door. Then, in a moment of what I can't understand, but she picks up her cell phone and calls paramedics to come and treat this man. To make a long story short, Rahane is eventually the next morning arrested. She's told that this man died of his injuries, and it startled Rahane. This tiny little knife caused all of that. And then the interrogators at the police station say, you know, this is a very, very serious situation you're in, Ms. Jabari. The man that you stabbed and killed was a former intelligence agent for the Iranian intelligence ministry. When Rahane hears that, she knows her life is over. For 7 long years, they interrogated and tortured Rahane, trying to force her to change her story, that he didn't try to rape her, but that rather it was a consensual sexual encounter, and that there was an argument, and she got mad and stabbed him and left. Even the judge decided her fate without knowing all of the other facts in the case. And so Rahane's life is sealed, because the reputation of a former intelligence agent is more important than the victim of a rape attack. I want to share with you a few excerpts from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, that I wrote 5.5 years ago. It's Rahane's biography, and it talks about how she grew up in a culture that is very man-centered and dominated by Islamic law. But I want to read to you what Rahane said. It's some of the excerpts from her letter, her prison letters that she wrote while in prison and that were secretly smuggled out and translated. In the beginning of my book on page 4, I write, I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old with a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of. I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by 4 forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. Rahane Jabari, Prison Letter 1. When I read that last statement, I knew I had to write Rahane's story. In her final words to her mother, Rahane says, in the court of the Creator, I will charge Dr. Sarbandi. I will charge Qasem Shabani and all those that out of ignorance or with their lies wronged me and trampled on my rights and didn't pay heed to the fact that sometimes what appears as reality is hearted solely. In the other world, it is you and me who are the accusers and others who are the accused. Let's see what God wants. I want to embrace you until I die. I love you. And now I want to conclude with an excerpt in my book, The Preface, in defense of her honor. In the Persian language, names have specific meanings that relate to life. The name Rahane means flower fragrance. Ironically, my name in the English language, Randy, means defender. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that I am writing this book for Rahane. I am not merely writing out of sympathy. It is much bigger than that. I believe I have the God-ordained task to live up to the meaning of my name. I want to be a defender of Rahane's honor as a woman. Rahane was the helpless victim of a man's uncontrollable sexual advances, and she did what any honorable woman would do by defending herself. In Iran, the unfortunate reality is that women are the property of men. In a society that elevates the status of a man because of Sharia law. According to the Quran, men are superior to women, and the testimony of a woman is only worth half that of a man's. Surah chapter 2, 282, Surah chapter 4, verse 34. Rahane grew up in this kind of culture, and because she defended her honor against a former intelligence agent, her fate was sealed. The Iranian regime would do everything in its power to protect the reputation of a government man, which meant that Rouhani had no hope of surviving, but instead would be sacrificed on the altar of convenience so that the Sarbandi name would not be tainted. Right before her execution, the regime brought in cameramen and reporter to pressure Rouhani into changing her story. Just say he did not try to rape me. In the midst of great pressure to preserve her life, Rouhani refused to lie and compromise the truth, but instead she stood strong and tall as a majestic mountain and looked into the face of her accusers and responded, "I will not lie." The reason I chose the name A Beautiful Fragrance as the subtitle of my book is because Rouhani exemplified and lived up to the meaning behind her name. She was a beautiful fragrance of honor, kindness, mercy, and courage. She forgave her interrogators shortly before her execution and showed kindness and compassion to the many women political prisoners who came from destitute and filthy walks of life. This book that I wrote is about a remarkable, extraordinary, and inspiring woman who suffered greatly at the hands of an evil dictatorship and illuminated a dirty prison with the beautiful fragrances of her wonderful character. It is my honor and a pleasure to defend her honor and tell her incredible story to the whole world. I want to share with you a dedication. My book is filled with dedications from people who looked up and respected and admired Rouhani, and they wrote this in their own words. This is from Maral and Samar. They used to live in Shiraz, Iran. I can tell you happily they are now refugees in Germany. They write, "Dear Rouhani, you are alive in the hearts of all women in Iran. You are a symbol of perseverance, the shout of injured women. You are a flower blossoming in the soil that will never surrender. There are thousands like you held captive in this land of animals. I wish I could have rescued you. I wish I could have taken your mom's hand and kissed her tears. But now you are safe at home with God. The place of Rahane's, the place of Netta's, the place of angels. For the next several weeks in October, I will be reading to you from my book, Rouhani, A Beautiful Fragrance, all about her life, her suffering, her ordeal in prison, just her story. She must never be forgotten. She is a symbol of hope for all Iranian women because she refused to even care about her own life. She held up her honor and refused to lie and change her story for the sake of this former intelligence agent that she defended herself in against a rape attack. Right now, I want to share with you a song that exemplifies Rouhani in so many ways. This is Big Daddy Weave. It's called Beautiful Offering.
here, I give it all to you. Every trial and greatest gain, every failure and darkest stain, every moment of all these years, I give it all to you. Take this broken life I bring, make it a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering. All I am laid at your feet, make me a beautiful offering, a beautiful offering to you, to you. Every season and every step, every heartbeat and every breath, every battle that brought
worship music of Big Daddy Weave, beautiful offering, which really I believe exemplifies Rahane's life and what she meant to me and many others in that dark and dirty prison. The character of her passion, compassion, and love shine through in a very difficult situation. The prison letters that are translated from Farsi into English so that most of us can read it, I give so much credit to my dear friend, Ashadi Paveh. She's an Iranian-Canadian human rights activist. She was responsible of translating Rahane's letters that she wrote from prison and displaying them on the internet. And she wrote a very special tribute to Rahane that I've included in my book. She writes, "For me, Rahane was a kind and unbreakable soul, far advanced beyond her 19 years. Not only did she defy her interrogators to the end with great courage, but also managed to see beyond her own misfortune in prison. Even while living under the shadow of the noose, she chose to focus on the fate of other prisoners less fortunate than her. Through her series of letters smuggled out of prison, we got to know her cellmates and the dire situations in one of Iran's most notorious women's prisons, Shahrayeh. Rahane held us captive with her tales of prison and her astonishing kindness toward others under the shadow of death at such a young age. Rahane was, and shall always remain, one of the most extraordinary women of Iran who lost her life for her truth with a daring defiance and uncommon valor. It was in the early morning dawn hours of October 25th, 2014, that Rahane was hanged. The situation is, when they call it a family member, the members of the Sarbandi family were there with Rahane. She stood upon a stool according to this tradition. The rope was put around her neck, and the family member, that is Morteza's son, came over to the stool, kicked it out from underneath her, and by that way, she was killed. She was hung. This is the way they worked out this situation in Iran. For the next several weeks, I am going to do my best to make her voice known all over the internet. It is my joy every October to set aside this month on the cross in the desert to read from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, and tell her story. Now, I will tell you this much. I know Rahane from her prison letters, from her family members that sent the information to me and telling me about her in a very unique and personal way. I got to know Rahane that way, but I want to tell you that there are many more Rahanes in prison in Iran that we just don't know their story. And so what I want to do this month of October is to read specific selections from my book so that you can get to know this beautiful fragrance. You can find out how this Kurdish girl, this young Kurdish girl who died just 10 days before her 27th birthday, you can learn about her great courage, her principles, her compassion, how she fought against the Iranian system by becoming a voice for the tortured other political prisoners in prison. And so she lived an exemplary life, and I want to dedicate my program to her all this month of October. I hope you will join me every Monday at 9:30 Central Standard Time as I tell the story of Rahane. I want to say to you, God bless you, have a great week, and I will see you again soon on the cross in the desert.